ready.
Do you want me to say welcome to Talk on the
Actually,
Walk?
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's actually a really good idea.
Wait, should I just say?
My mum's going to interview me. Or chat to me about my life chapters.
So I'll be you?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi everyone, welcome to Talk on to Walk On. And today I am the special guest. Michelle's very own daughter. I'm sure you all have heard lots about me.
If you've listened, yeah. If you haven't, go back and have a listen. So we're going to begin with, we're going to go through your life chapters so far, of which there are a few, and we're going to start with today. So what have you done today that you're really excited about?
I've just booked my one-way ticket to Bali.
Oh my God, I know. So when are you going, roughly?
November,
yeah,
after your birthday.
After my birthday. It's very nice of you to stick around for that.
Only 2 days.
Yeah, 2 days after.
And then I'm gone.
And you're gone.
Never coming back. Only joking. I will come back, only for the dogs.
Thanks. I know. Thank God for dogs. So, gap year. Some people tend to frown upon students having a gap year. But actually, I did it. I backpacked around America with my backpack on a bus. And
with no phone.
With no phone, all that. And especially post-pandemic, a lot of young people want to see the world and want to experience different cultures, don't they? And I know employers now see it. There's a big shift, I think, and employers are seeing it almost. Not an essential part of your personal development, but actually a key part that I think actually enhances your CV, you know, if you've got good stories to tell when you come back. So what are you hoping to get out of it?
A lot of fun, and yeah, just so many new experiences. And I'm going to be by myself for a bit, so I'll be meeting people along the way and probably just being out of my comfort zone.
Yeah,
because like I moved to Manchester and stuff, but it's literally down the M62, so if I wanted to come home, I could just come home. Whereas when I'm going to be on the other side of the world, I can't do that. I can't just be like, Mom.
Yeah.
I don't feel well. I'm just going to have to get on with it and do it myself. So I think that'll be like a real turning point for me to just kind of have that independence. And that's what I'm excited for, even though it is scary.
Yeah. But scary's good though, isn't it?
Yeah. Hopefully.
Get yourself out of your comfort zone, building resilience. Yeah. And apparently, and I did look this up, that a lot of employers now see it as a strategic investment. How about that? In your future career.
There we go then.
There you go. A strategic investment in your future career. And I think basically what they mean by that is you're more likely to develop leadership skills. They say a lot of people who've travelled and experienced different cultures, you know, the world is far more globally connected now, aren't they? That you're more likely to demonstrate leadership qualities.
Yeah. And just like problem solving.
Yeah.
Everyone bangs on about, oh, you need to problem solve.
But everyone bangs on. It's true, though.
But they do. Yeah. Like, that is a skill that so many job descriptions have.
Yeah.
Like, I've got that skill now, but I'll probably enhance it.
Yeah, the world is moving so fast from a technology perspective with AI and, you know, all the you know, coding and all these crazy things that are way beyond me. But where my comfort zone, and I still bang on about it, is the importance of being able to communicate, connect, teamwork, problem solving, resilience, empathy, emotional intelligence, all those sorts of things. And I think what you're saying is you will build on that.
Yeah.
You have soft skills in spades, and we'll come on to, we're going to go back a little bit now in terms of schooling and the importance of your early years, but we'll naturally come on to the numerous jobs that you've had.
Yeah.
And that, again, I've sort of banged on about, to use your term, in different podcasts that we've, Patrick and I, have recorded, and about how communication, connection, conversation underpins everything that we believe that you do in life. But we'll come back to that.
By the way, don't you think I should have my own cup? This is Patrick.
You will get your own cup.
I have to be a guest first?
Yeah, you have to be the guest
first.
That's
why I've come on. I want my own cup.
Patrick, get it sorted.
Order one.
Our PA. So, school.
I loved school, but I think it really helped that I went to what we called kindergarten, which is the equivalent of nursery, and then right through to primary school, and then right through to high school in that same school. So I grew up with the same people And I think that did really help because we had those bonds and relationships that you can't really get anywhere else if you're going from different school to different school.
Yeah.
So I had really good friends.
And also you were doing your performing arts and they were quite flexible, I think, because you were only in primary school, about letting you come in a little bit later in the mornings if you'd been on the Empire till late at night and things like that. But then high school came along and then you had a mixed experience, didn't you, really?
Yeah. I mean, I did like high school. I did not enjoy it. I think King David, where I went to, is like a really good school, but I think it could have been better. But I feel like every school has the potential to be better than it is. I think a lot of schools just follow everything by the book. They don't really go out of the comfort zone, maybe just because they can't.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot more that schools can do, because high school, it's hard because you're going through a stage of life where loads of things are changing. Like you get a bit more freedom, you can go out with your friends, but also you've got your GCSE years. Like a lot of things are going on in your life outside of school, so I think it's that awkward stage of life. And I think high schools in particular could probably do a lot more to just make it a bit more interesting
and get on a level with teenagers, I think.
Like, there was a few teachers who you could have, like, a bit of a joke with.
Yeah.
Like, my English teacher, maths teacher. Like, there was obviously a limit, but they'd have a bit of a joke and a laugh with you, whereas a few others were very, like, set in their own ways.
Mm.
But I got quite lucky with all my teachers, whereas a few of my friends didn't have as good as teachers as I did. And I think that is important, who you get as your teacher.
Absolutely,
And you respect them more. Like, if you like them,
you're
going to listen to them, you're going to take their advice, whereas if you don't like them and they're annoying, you're just going to joke with them. I had a teacher called Mr. Jones. He was my maths teacher.
Yeah.
And going back to primary school a bit, it was SATs we had to do in year six.
Oh, yeah.
And I was really ill.
That's like, right.
And when I'm ill, and you know that.
Yeah.
And I was ill.
Yeah.
And you called the school and they were like, she's got to come in and do that maths test. And obviously because I wasn't well, it didn't go very well. And they based your set for what you got in your SATs. So
this is when you're 11, right?
Yeah. So I got put into CSET maths in year seven and he was my teacher. And I remember he was like, why are you in this class? He saw that I could probably offer a lot more.
But actually, it worked out quite well, didn't it? Because I remember accepting it. I remember thinking that you perhaps should have been in a higher set.
Yeah.
And a lot of parents understandably may have gone down and gone, what's going on? But because you were only 10, 11, I sort of accepted it. And I thought, well, let's just see what happens. And I always remember, and you're going to say what he said to you, but I'm now going to say what he said to whether it was Patrick and I or me on my own, probably me on my own at the time.
I think it was. It would have been you.
And he said something like, and we'll just cut forward, that you actually ended up with the prize for maths.
Yeah, the whole year.
And he said, cream rises to the top. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do remember that, actually. Yeah.
Good old Mr. Jones. There's probably a million Mr. Joneses out there, but...
Hello, Hendo. Do you want to get involved?
Anyway, cheers to Mr. Jones. But he also said something else to you wanted to say.
Oh, yeah. I remember he said to me, I still don't know what I want to do yet with my life.
Yeah, good point.
And I was like, what? You're like 40. How do you not know? Because at the time, like, you think adults, they've got it all planned. That's their job and that's what they're doing. And you look up to them. And that just shows that it's okay to not know what you want to do. I just remember thinking, oh, doesn't know what he wants to do. Yeah, like, he's just doing this because A, it's a job.
Yeah.
He needs a job. And B, but he enjoys doing it.
Yeah, I think he enjoyed
And you
the
could
kids.
Tell that because he was a really good teacher. Like, you could tell he enjoyed what he did.
But he connected to the kids.
Yeah.
And I think that's key for teaching, isn't it?
Yeah.
And because obviously you had a couple of teachers, and you remember one in particular asking you a favour and you didn't like him.
On my results day, I got really good results and there was like a King David newspaper, I think, or something. And he asked to like interview me to talk about what I got and how amazing I'd done. And I was just like, no. Because I didn't want to do him a favour. Because I didn't really like him.
Yeah, whereas if Mr. Jones
And I
Jones
didn't want to give
you.
It to him. Whereas if Mr. Jones or my business teacher was Miss Livingston.
Yeah.
I was being like, yeah, Defo. But because it was him, I just didn't want to help him with the favour. I mean, I was 16, I probably would have done it now.
Yeah, you do it now. And it wasn't because you were frightened to do it.
No.
Because I do remember you saying, and I remember thinking, fair play, well...
You probably would have wanted me to do it.
Yeah, from a proud parent point of view. But actually, Hannah, the one thing, and I've always said this about you, is you've got strong values. So, yeah, good on you. Now I can say that.
Thanks.
Although at the time I probably wanted you to be on the front cover or something.
Of the paper.
Yeah. Based on your experience, do you think things could improve, certainly in higher education, in terms of helping young people build their confidence more?
I was lucky enough to do performing arts outside of school, and I think that's where a lot of my confidence did come from. And I would always say that to anyone, make sure you do things outside of school. It's not always just about school. In our school, we didn't do a lot of like drama or singing, acting, dancing. I know a lot of schools do that. If they don't, I think that is one that they could improve or could bring it in more.
Yeah, into the daily life.
Yeah.
You say when you were little, they did show and tell. So maybe the, you know, and you remember doing that, don't you?
Even, it doesn't even have to be performing arts, so just speaking more
opportunities.
Because I remember when you'd present in school, you'd be like, because you're doing it in front of your mates, like you feel awkward and like they'll just laugh at you because they're your friends at the end of the day. But if that's something that you have to do all the time, then you
becomes
just...
becomes second nature.
It becomes second nature and you don't really care then because it's just what you've got to do. So even if it's just like getting up and...
debating something?
Yeah. Or... just, I think, speaking a lot more rather than being spoken at.
Yes,
like,
that's a good...
get the teachers... to say to you, what do you think? And I know that's hard also because just quickly jumping back, going to uni, like they'll ask you a question, no one puts their hands up. But I think that is because you didn't get that in school.
Yeah.
So it's like to us, oh, like I don't want to be wrong. Whereas in school, if they teach you that it's best to just speak up, no answer is a wrong answer.
Yeah.
Then that confidence is just going to be there from the beginning of a young age.
Yeah, brilliantly put, Hannah. Couldn't have said it better myself. Do you want a job as a podcaster? You did business with Miss Livingston. So tell us about Miss Livingston and your time doing business and what that has then led to.
Yeah. Miss Livingston, she was like a scout mum. You could just go to her with anything.
Aww. That's nice.
She was, and I think everyone who went to King David would say that.
Yeah.
She was just so welcoming, so warm,
Oh. And
just like, just dead normal.
Yeah.
You went, like, you didn't feel like she was a teacher, you felt like she was more your mate, and she was, like, the way she acted. So I think obviously that really helps, like, when I said earlier, it's the connection with the teacher and the student. But she made business really fun as well. I know some people don't like business, but I really enjoyed it. And I think growing up around you and you having your own business, I was probably more familiar with that world. And that's probably why I found it more interesting. I just loved it. And also it was real life. Like, it was stuff that was actually happening. I've obviously done it in uni now, but there's so many things in business that you have to apply to everyday life.
Yeah.
Like, everything is a business at the end of the day. And the big case studies of, like, Tesco, for example, Boots. And you'd be like, oh, that's actually happening. That's interesting. That's real life. So, yeah, I just loved business, really.
So you did your GCSEs. You make me laugh because you go, oh, it's a bit quite stress-free. Actually, for me, Patrick, because Patrick was in our life then. We weren't married, but... it was the year we got married and the year we moved house and literally took this house back to brick. We were both in quite very stressful jobs. And then you were doing your GCSEs, which for some context, I know it's different in the States because we've got quite a few listeners in the United States and around the world. But for context, it's like 20, you had 26 exams over a 4-week period.
Yeah.
As well as you had some coursework for art because you're taking art. So we had artwork all over the house. And so you found GCSEs okay. But apart from there was one exam, wasn't there? Right at the beginning, which could have completely thrown you.
Yeah, biology. Yeah, it was. That was the first exam we'd done, and I remember I made all my notes very pretty. And that is something that I love to do. Spent a lot of time doing them, but also it made me actually want to read them because they look nice. But anyway.
It's a top tip.
Yeah. So I remember that morning I was reading them out, all like my notes on like photosynthesis, cells. And I remember you said to me like, oh my God, you sound so clever. And I was like, yeah, like I know all of this stuff. Because I did, like you had to know it.
I know you did.
And I went in feeling so confident.
Yeah.
And I remember I just sat down and obviously like they say go or whatever.
Go.
And I looked at the first question. I was like, what the hell? And the first question's supposed to be like the easiest because I think it gets harder throughout the paper. And I remember I like looked through all of them. I didn't even like what I'd do. I'd look, and if I didn't know the answer, I'd move on to the next one and be like, I'll leave that till the end. I'll come back to it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know any answer. So I got to the end page and was like, right. But anyway, obviously I answered what I could answer, had a go and ended up doing well. But we came out and like spoke to the biology teachers, and then they'd obviously seen the paper and they were so shocked. Like they were like, that should not have been a GCSE biology paper. That's like A levels.
Yeah.
So that made us feel better. But that was literally the beginning of it, the exam. So I think that probably did throw a lot of people in it, through me at first, but also it's done now. Like, what can you do about it? On to the next sort of thing.
Yeah. I know.
And I think that's what I'm quite good at. Once something's done, there's nothing you can do. Obviously, I am a bit of an overthinker, but when it comes to stuff like that, you've just got to move on. There's literally nothing you can do.
Yeah, and I remember I was saying, you know, not that I had to encourage you to do that, because you'd already admit you were always very good at that. It was probably me that was taking on the stress of it. But I was like, oh my God, it could really affect all the future exams that you've really worked hard and studied for.
Yeah.
But you didn't let it.
No.
And actually it ended up okay in the end. And again, that's another top tip, isn't it? And a lesson for young people and parents who are going through or sitting any exam, is just have a go.
Yeah. Well, that's all you can do, and
in difficult circumstances, don't give up.
You've got to just be proud of what you've done, because if you've put the work in, you should do well. Like, I'd put the work in, so I think for me, it was like, if I don't know the answer, there's nothing I can do. I've tried my hardest. Yeah. I've answered what I can answer, and that's all you can do.
Yeah.
And you've just got to believe that, go in, you know what you know. And hope for the best on the day.
For those who think they haven't done as well, or think, you know, something's too difficult, you just never know. It invariably turns out okay. It's always less, not as bad as you think it's going to be.
And I think GCSEs are so heightened because it's the first, like, big thing in your life that you've got to focus on. You're tested. And a lot of my friends weren't happy with the results that they got, and they're fine.
Yeah, they're all doing brilliantly, aren't they? Yeah.
And so many people say, like, oh, GCSEs are so important. They are at that stage of your life, but I have, like, a friend who didn't pass maths.
Yeah.
And she had to keep resitting, and she's thriving now, so it's fine. Like, if you fail, you can do it again.
Yeah. It's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world.
Like, absolutely. That's really good advice. Yeah. Really good advice. So you did your GCSEs, and then we had a brilliant summer, didn't we?
Yeah.
Where Patrick and I got married. And you pretty much helped organise our wedding.
And prom.
Oh, prom. I'd forgotten about that.
To chase the money off people.
Yes, you organised your prom.
Yeah.
Single-handedly, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was in a hotel in town, wasn't it? And you organised the entertainment, everything, the food. The
DJ was questionable, but yeah. Actually, one of my friends organised that.
Oh, so that wasn't you?
No, I wouldn't have picked him otherwise.
Oh, there you go. But you all had a good time.
Yeah, no, it was good.
Yeah.
It was really good.
But again, showing your business acumen and leadership qualities at a very early age.
I just love organising things.
I know you do. You do. You always have done. You've had a whiteboard since you were tiny. Again, top tip for a child if you don't want. We were not going to get into social media on this podcast, but a top distraction is, certainly probably for little kids more so. But even as older, you use that whiteboard, didn't you, to keep yourself organised and whatever else. And again, that came from your dancing, I think, and performing, because you had to have all your outfits and costume changes and be organised and be on time and all that. And again, something I've gone on about in other podcasts was your time at performers, so another shout out to them. So we now come on to A-levels, and you decided to be brave, and you could have stayed on at King David where you'd been since you were three. You decided you wanted a change. Mm-hmm. So tell us what happened next and how you ended up not doing A-levels, but ended up with a first class degree.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, how the hell did that happen, Hannah?
So I think I wanted a change after being at King David's for so long, because I hadn't experienced anything different. Yeah. Like, a lot of people go from primary school to high school, changing schools, whereas I hadn't done that. So I think for me, it felt like the next step. So I went to a school called Belvedere, went to do my A-levels, and I think I lasted like a week, maybe not even that. Sometimes I think, though, if I would have stayed at King David, if I probably would have stuck out A-levels, just because it was a comfort zone thing. And I think because I was at Belvedere and I was out of my comfort zone and I was doing subjects other than business, which I really wanted to do. I was doing subjects that I was like, why am I even doing this? Like,
because you were really upset. You were worried.
Yeah, because it's that thing, you have to go and do A-levels. Like, that's, again, schools, what they probably should change is there's so many other things out there other than just going to other do options, A-levels straight away. Apprenticeships, diplomas,
BTECs.
Yeah, BTECs. There's so many other options. And to be fair, I think it's probably more spoken about now because they've gotten a lot better. Whereas I think 6 years ago, it wasn't really spoken about. Mm. Like, it was known, but I think a lot of people done it if they weren't clever enough to do A-levels, whereas I was. Yeah. Like, I easily could have done my A-levels, but it was just something that it didn't feel right for me. So yeah, I was really upset about it because I just didn't know what I wanted to do, because it's 2 years of your life, and I just deep down knew it had only been like 2 days, but I was just like, I just don't want to do this, I just don't want to be here. And I panicked, I worried, and obviously the only one I was certain about was business. That's what I wanted to do, that was the only one that I enjoyed. And I'd always loved fashion, had a passion for it, and luckily you knew a course that was fashion, business and retail, and you said to me, like, there's this course, what do you think? And I was like, yeah, like, it sounds great. Got excited about it, but didn't want to get too excited about it because it was a diploma, and I, at the time, and they probably still are, diplomas are frowned upon a bit, because again, it kind of sounds like you're not clever enough to go and do A-levels.
Again, it's probably just a term, a phrase, but I think they talk about diplomas in the United States. I'm not sure, I'd have to maybe look that up, but it's just, again, I don't think it's frowned. I think there's just a bit of a snobbery.
It's just not A-levels. It's just not A-levels. If it's an apprenticeship, it's not an A-level.
Yeah.
It's if you're not doing A-levels, I think it's frowned upon a bit, I was worried.
Well, it's more like it's if they think you, like you said, you mustn't be bright enough or whatever. Yeah. Whereas now, like you've said, it's brilliant. The kids who aren't drawn to academia or aren't, you know, passionate about it, or because you've got to be interested in it, and we'll come on to that as well. That, you know, there are all these different options out there, and I think it's about educating the schools. and be parents, mm-hmm. and the schools being more open about what other options there are. And it's what's in the best interest of the child, not what's in the best interest of the school, mm-hmm. and them getting the results. And luckily, you know, I knew, again, power of conversation. I knew the principal at the college and through business. And she'd mentioned, she always asked after you, she asked me what you loved. And she talked about this university accredited, what was it, University UIL. Of Arts London accredited course. Mm-hmm. So straight away my ears pricked up because it sounded great. And then it was the fashion with the business combination.
But then do you think if it hadn't have said UIL accredited, you would have been like, ooh, college?
Possibly. I think because I didn't know. I knew there was other options, but I think as soon as I realised that it what you got contributed towards university.
Yeah, like I think...
Because I was like, well, what doesn't matter? No, as long
well,
as
that
she...
was the main thing. If I got like a distinction, it counts as UCAS points, which it's not. That's what it is. It's UCAS
which is the points
point
you need
to go
to university, yeah.
And I was getting them with that course. So I think that was the point where I was like, oh, I can still go to uni.
Yeah. But even at the time, you didn't even know if you wanted to go to university.
No.
And we talked about that, didn't we? Mm-hmm. And so whether you went on, we knew that by the end of it, you'd have the option, if you did well enough, to go to university or go and get a job in fashion and business.
Yeah.
So again, it's another lesson to parents and see what else is out there. Yeah. You went to college and then March 2020... was lockdown.
Mm-hmm. We were quite good, other than like peak lockdown time. We went in second year.
Yes, yeah. And you liked going in, didn't you? And again, there's a new culture which us, our generation, get roll our eyes at, that it's all online and what's that about? But I do think you, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you see the benefit of going in A to work or B to college or B to, you know, C to uni, mm-hmm. if you have that chance to connect with people, because you made great friends, didn't you?
Yeah, well, that when I went, just not talking about lockdown, when I first started, I was already like 2 weeks behind. And I remember I went in and spoke to like the teacher, and she was like, if you're gonna come, you need to come now,
yeah,
because you're already slightly behind. So I had to make like a quick decision.
That's true.
And I didn't even tell anyone. In Belvedere, I remember I had to go back in to get something out of my locker, and they were like, where have you been? And I was like, oh, I've left. Because I just didn't tell anyone other than like my best friend. So I started 2 weeks late, but also I was a bit behind on the subject, but I was also behind on making friends, because obviously everyone didn't know each other on the first day. And then me 2 weeks later was walking in when a lot of people had already formed like little groups.
Yeah.
But luckily I was fine and made 2 really good friends that are like my best friends today. But yeah, I think that's probably why I liked going in, was A, to see my friends, but also B, to like talk about the subject, mm. with like, I had good teachers in there, and I just like going in. I think it's healthy.
So tell us specifically about the course that you chose and why it was so perfect for you.
The best way to describe it is it was a business course, but fashion was the case study. So you'd be learning about retailers, supply chain from a fashion perspective, the consumer, how it's so important to have a target consumer. And then we also learnt about marketing, buying, merchandising, visual merchandising. So I got like a full view of the fashion industry. And I think without that knowledge, probably wouldn't have maybe gone and done that course
at university.
Well, it
just so happened. So it was fashion with...
Fashion, business and retail is the course.
Yeah. And the course you then did at uni... Was
fashion, business and management.
And management. So it literally was the next step.
It was like
up.
A stepping stone, but...
A big step stone.
Well, yeah, but, a big step stone. Yeah. But I think it just gave me more of an idea of what I wanted to do at uni. A lot of people who were on my university course had done the likes of psychology, maths and biology. And they came in and was like... What?
Because with any industry, you learn a new language. at the beginning when everything is new, it's really scary. Whether you're doing law, fashion, business, there's a new lingo, isn't there, that you need to learn. And you're now taking that for granted, because I hear you talking, and especially when you were doing your Adidas placement, and I would listen to you going, I have no idea. She sounds amazing, because you'd learned all the jargon.
Mm-hmm.
You did go back in, actually, and do a talk, didn't you? They actually asked me to come in, and I was like, they'd be better off listening to you.
Yeah, I went and spoke to...
It was Lisa Ambrose, wasn't it?
Went and spoke to the students about, similar to this podcast, about my journey from being where they were sat in that the exact room, actually, in college, doing that course, to where I was at the time, which was on my Adidas placement year. And it was weird, because it was like a full circle moment, because...
It was lovely.
It was lovely, and it was nice to talk about how far I'd come since making that decision to not do A-levels, to go and do something that none of my... when I say none of my friends, actually quite a lot of my friends didn't do A-levels, but...
It felt like everyone was doing A-levels.
Yeah, it felt like everyone was doing A-levels.
And you were doing something different.
But actually, just the point, none of my close friends actually done A-levels.
Have you just realised that?
I just realised that. Chloe didn't, Grace didn't.
Yeah.
Zita didn't. Obviously, Millie and Elle didn't. A lot of my close friends didn't do A-levels and were all doing amazing. So again, that just proves that you don't need to do them.
Absolutely.
And it's about what's right for you and what makes you happy and what feels right.
Cheers to that. But if you do them, then
And other my friends have done A-levels and they're doing amazing. But I think that shows that I'm doing amazing. And the likes of Kirsten, who's done A-levels, she's doing amazing.
Yeah.
But it hasn't changed how amazing we've done.
No,
because
it
I've not done A-levels.
Yeah.
It's how you go about it and how much effort you put in.
What's so brilliant about your story is you were very lucky in that you found something that you loved at an early age. And that's difficult,
because
you've got to try all different things to find your passion, I think. Everyone talks about, find your passion, but you've got to try different things to see what that passion is. It's just that we fell upon this. You've just instinctively always been drawn to fashion. And you love business as your favourite subject, and it just so happened that we knew about this particular course.
But probably at the time, I didn't know that I wanted to work in the fashion industry. But I went to do something that I loved. And I think if you don't know what you want to do, I didn't necessarily know, and so many people don't know. So a lot of people just do subjects because they think, oh, I'll just do that because I don't know what else to do. But if you don't know what you want to do, at least do something that you enjoy.
That's
what I did, and now that I've realised, oh, actually, I love this industry, like, I want to work in it. And that's really lucky that I've felt that from doing that course. But even if I hadn't and thought, you know what, this industry isn't for me, and changed the path I wanted to go down, I think I'd still look back and be like, no, because I love fashion. I'd still love fashion, whether I'd be in the fashion industry or not.
Yeah.
Like, I love the side of business. So I don't think I'd look back and regret it. So I think if you don't know what you want to do, at least just do something that you really enjoy, because then you're not going to regret wasting 2 years of your life.
Brilliant advice, Hannah. I remember that day when you went back to the college, because it was... I felt so proud.
You were in the room with me.
I know.
And I think that's the first time you've probably seen me
in action.
In action.
Well, in terms of
talking about
setting,
like, me and my journey, like, I've never had to really do that before.
No, I know. But again, your performing arts came to the fore, your confidence and your love for the subject. You gave the younger students, whose position you were sitting in, whose seats you were sitting in 2 years before, some brilliant advice from, you know, applying for uni, their personal statements about confidence and all these things. But what's the one tip that you think that you left them with, that you felt like you had to drill into them?
Like, hard work pays off. Like, that's a saying, but it's a saying for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, hard work does pay off. If you don't work hard, you're not going to succeed. And I think that's one thing I left them with. When it was in terms of their personal statements, if it was for their CVs, if it was in an interview, in their exams, in anything, is just to work hard on it. And it also... is noticed, I think, if you do work hard, like on a CV, if you work hard on a CV, I think you can tell. It's
Attitude.
Mm. And I think I really drilled that into them because I did work hard and it did pay off. So that was my point.
Yeah. And it was a brilliant point. Very well made. Yeah. I never needed to ask you to go and get a job. I never needed to advise you to get a job. Yeah, you were just like, you couldn't wait. Could you? No. You just couldn't wait. But you did do stuff for me over the years.
I don't think you paid me. To be honest,
I think I paid you in many ways.
I think that was just some work experience.
Yeah, that's true.
But in terms of like a pay slip, I worked at the Echo Arena. Should I just list them? Because yes. I've got quite a lot to list.
Oh no, go on. I'll see if you miss any out.
Echo Arena.
Doing what?
Like serving.
Hospitality.
Yeah, hospitality. Blankstone Opticians. And then I worked on like a brand launch event in London. And then Allerton Manor. The old stables, that was hospitality, that was serving.
That was during COVID as well, and that was hard when you had to wear the masks all the time. Yeah. And
after that, I went to university, so in Manchester.
You've missed one. The driving school.
Oh, yeah, that's faster. I actually really enjoyed that job.
Do you know why? I know why, because you answer the phone.
I loved it.
I know you
were. I used to play when I was little and pretend to be on the phone.
Oh my god, you used to have to
and take appointments in a book. I loved it.
So you were like fulfilling your childhood dream.
Yeah. And then I worked in Selfridges, which is probably my favourite.
Yeah.
Especially the discount. You loved it as well.
I did too.
After that, I got my placement year at Adidas, but I'm guessing we're going to come on to that a bit later. So.
But you got work experience. I know it's not a job, but with Matalan. And again, that comes back to...
That's more like uni, though, isn't
it? The hard work. No, but I know it's more like uni, but the fact that you were able to put it on your CV...
Yeah. Like, I know you've just said work experience, but part-time jobs, I actually think they're not overlooked, but you learn so much from them that you probably, at the time, don't think you will. You gain so many skills, and probably one of the most important things I've learned is what I don't want to do in life from those part-time jobs. Like, I enjoyed them, I loved working at Selfridges, but I wanted to be a customer, I didn't want to be serving.
So it made you aspirational, didn't it?
But and like, I have so much respect for people who, especially people who work in hospitality, like, it's so difficult. I don't want to do that.
I want to
go into a different industry, but the skills that I've learned from those part-time jobs, whether it's communication, problem solving, team management, I can take all of those and apply them to the industry I want to go into.
You grew with quite a thick skin. I mean, you're quite thick skinned anyway. I remember you saying, oh my god, the chef walked out in the middle of the day, and you all had to step up and step in and help each other.
Yeah,
and
one of the waitresses was making the desserts.
Yeah, I know.
But, and that just shows teamwork, and you've got to think on the spot. And
but customers were complaining, and you just said it was just one of these crazy days. But you got through it, didn't you?
And obviously, like, at the time, you don't think, oh, I'm building on my problem-solving skills, but you are without even knowing it. And even confidence, like, you're speaking to customers, you have to be like, hi, can I help you? You're building on that confidence. So whether it's a job in the retail industry, whether it's a job in hospitality, whether it's in an office doing admin, do it.
Yeah.
Because it can go such a long way, and you can apply it to any job that you have an interview for.
You got your placement in your third year of uni, and those jobs, yes, you had to do a presentation to them, short notice. You know, they put you under a lot of pressure in terms of the presentation. But the questions afterwards, once you dealt with the presentation, were all about
they were so difficult.
And they were so difficult. But you were able to answer them because you'd worked, I think. When have you shown initiative? When have you been in a difficult situation?
And that's why I think it's so important to even just get experience. Like, if you know someone who knows someone who can get you, even if it's like a 3-day experience, that you can just apply it. You can expand on it a bit. Like, some of the questions they asked me, I probably dramatised it a bit. But, like, everyone does.
Do they?
Yeah.
I mean, you're just really good at it.
No, but no one can say in a job interview they haven't told a little white lie. They have.
I know, but that shows, I don't know, clever thinking.
Yeah.
Thinking on your feet.
Thinking.
Yeah. But then you had to give up some of your summer, didn't you? And you did that to do Matalan. And then that you were able to talk about that as well, weren't you, when you came to your placement interview? So it all contributes. Don't ever think anything that you do in terms of work experience, whether it's paid or not, is a waste. So university then, you got your points in the bag. You got your distinction from City Liverpool College and you had to apply for uni and we were in the middle of lockdown.
I didn't even know if I wanted to go to uni.
I know. So you had a few dilemmas, didn't you, really?
Because I almost just wanted to work.
Yeah.
And so many people wouldn't say that, but I did. Like, I loved working, which is maybe a bit sad, but I just wanted to start.
Yeah.
Like, I love having, like, responsibilities. Like, I like the idea of, like, having a laptop, having my, like, the aesthetic side of work in which you, but, like, I do.
Plus routine, you like routine.
Yeah, I like a routine.
Yeah, you're very strategic.
I liked the idea of going to work, and so that's why I wasn't sure if I wanted to go to uni, but I obviously decided to go to uni in the end. But for me, once I got the offers from London and Manchester, I think that was probably, like, one of the biggest decisions I've made, like, for myself. Maybe not doing A-levels was, like, the first one, but this was more, like, the next big decision that would have a real impact on my life. So I remember I wrote, like, a pros and cons list in the kitchen. And there was so many pros for Manchester. And really, the only one in London was, it was London. So, really... Yeah. It was Manchester, but also I looked at the course, and that's, I think that's so important, and I can probably speak about this for ages, is it's not always about the uni. Sometimes there's this pressure you've got to go to, like, a red brick university, uni of, not like a Manchester Metropolitan, John Moores, which is in Liverpool. There's sometimes that pressure that you need to go to these, like, red brick universities, when actually I completely disagree with that. I think it's about the course and what suits you, because that's what's gonna make you enjoy it more. And I did, like, I looked at the Manchester Metropolitan course, fashion business management, and I looked at the one in London, and the one in London was so much more, like, finance based.
But you still ended up doing a lot of finance.
No,
I
did, but the modules on the Manchester Met one, I was just like, yeah, this is
more
a bit
industry led,
This is a bit more of me. I was more interested in it. So really, obvious, I think deep down, I think I knew Manchester was the better fit, but the thing that made the decision clear for me was the course.
Yeah. So the entrepreneur from Dragon's Den, Stephen Bartlett, said that he thought university was a waste of time. And I like Stephen Bartlett, but when he said that, it did make me stop in my tracks a little bit, because I've sometimes, even though I went through university, and I've questioned it at times, whether it, you know, and the pressure to go. Is it, what do you think now that you've had the university experience?
Is it, if it's a waste of time?
Yeah.
I think it really depends on the person. I think you get out of it what you put into it. And I think if you go for the right reasons, I don't think it should be a waste of time. And I think bringing it back to, like, the right course and what you said, there's this huge pressure to go to university. Like, I think a lot of people think, if I go to university, I'll be fine. Like, I've got a degree under my belt. I'll be successful in some way. But I actually think the pressure should be on choosing the right course for you. Because for me, I chose the right one and I wanted to put the effort in. I was determined to do well because I enjoyed the course that I was doing. I wanted to learn. I wanted to go in. Whereas I think if you were to choose the wrong course, then all of that's just going to go out the window, which I would probably be the same.
Yeah.
So I think it really depends on the person and the reason why you're going.
Yeah, their circumstances. Because some people are just instinctively entrepreneurial. Yeah. They want their own business straight away and they take that chance. But you've still got the chance to do that with a degree.
Yeah.
Now, I know a lot of famous entrepreneurs famously didn't go to uni. But it doesn't mean if you go to uni, you can't be entrepreneurial either.
And I think,
and having those jobs, I think that balance, you balance it with the part-time jobs has been, I think, is maybe the way forward.
But I think as well, like, it should be your decision to go to uni, like, obviously it is your decision, but
don't be pressured.
Don't be pressured into going, and you didn't pressure me into going, because at the end of the day, it's your money. If you're taking a loan out, you've got to pay it back.
Yeah.
It's your energy, it's your time, and it's £9,000 at the end of the day. So if you're not 100% sure, then it's up to you, and that's your decision, and you shouldn't listen to anyone else. If you feel like it's not right for you, or it is right for you, then
do it.
So
university life, it wasn't a breeze, was it? Because
no, I hated first year.
Yeah, you did.
Hated it.
Oh, well, actually, I'm saying you did, but you never really... I got that feeling, and it was something we probably didn't always talk about.
I didn't hate...
The first year.
The first, like, that's a bit dramatic, but I hated living in halls.
Yeah.
Didn't like it at all.
Why not?
I like my own space. Mm. I think it's an only child thing. There was 10 people who I shared with, and I just didn't like it.
Yeah, you spent a lot of time in your room on your
own. Yeah, I ended up buying a kettle because I just didn't want to get in that kitchen. And, yeah.
So, again, the image of students all mucking in, all getting to know each other, all from different parts of the country. You sort of dipped your toe in and then ran away, didn't you, a little bit? Do you think you could have tried a bit harder?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
But with me, like, I have my friends.
Yes, and your friends were on your course, weren't you?
Yeah, so I went to uni with Millie and Elle, who were my really two, like, close friends at the time. So I didn't really feel like I needed to make more friends. And
yeah.
I've always been like that. I know who my friends are, and I keep my circle quite small. I didn't feel the need to, like, go out and make the effort as much as I probably should have done. And I did make friends at uni, like, I'm friends with girls from my course, but that didn't come with me, like, forcing it. It just came naturally. Whereas I think if I would have made the effort to make friends with people who I lived with, it would have just been a bit forced.
Yeah. And also, you don't always have to get on with everybody that you meet, do you? Don't you? I mean, you did not like them. It's just they just weren't your type.
No.
And that's fine. That's life, isn't it? Then you moved into a flat with Millie, so, and you loved your second and third and fourth year, didn't you?
Yeah.
So actually, another thing I'm going to bring up at uni, which is a classic for most young couples who've got together, university is a test on if you have a relationship in your late teens. Mm-hmm. It's a big test, isn't it? But it's very common. It's funny because obviously I went to Manchester, same uni, virtually lived near the same place, same buildings we went into just 30 years later, mm-hmm. which is very weird. I'd been out with my first boyfriend for quite a long time, and he was my first love, and then we had to make a decision, and you had to face a similar decision in terms of a first relationship, and it happens to so many young people, and it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think when you go to uni, so many couples don't last.
Yeah.
Because you move to a different city, it's new experiences, and I think it's especially hard when one of the people in the relationship isn't also in uni.
Yeah.
Because when it's like your first love, you're so wrapped up in it.
Yeah.
Because you think, like,
you're going to last forever.
Yeah, and I think everyone does with their first relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it was sad, but it was also something I've now learnt from, and I got through it, and I was sad at the time. It's hard for anyone to go through, like, a breakup, but, like, you're still young, and in the moment, like, it's the end of the world sort of thing, but it's not.
It builds resilience again, doesn't it, and strength of character.
Yeah.
So your placement, we'll come on to your placement at Adidas.
Adidas was actually the last one I applied for. I applied for two, sent my CV in, and then I had a call with one of the HR managers, and she said, you've kind of got to pick one. Mm-hmm. So I applied for the business development one and the go-to-market one. So go-to-market's all about how the product's taken to market. I kind of asked her which one has got a lot of applicants for, which one's the most popular, and she said the go-to-market one.
Mm-hmm.
And deep down I knew that's the one I probably wanted the most, but I was like, oh, like, I'm more probably likely to get the business development one because it's less competitive. But then I thought, sod it, like, I'm just going to apply for the one I really want.
Mm-hmm.
and that's what I did. Yeah, I applied for that one and got through to the last round and had an interview, had to present a whole 15-minute presentation.
Yeah.
And bearing in mind, this was in May, so this is when my last yeah. like uni assignments were due. So I was doing all like my uni work plus the presentation plus preparing for the interview, and it was a lot. Like, it was such hard work. I actually didn't get that go-to-market internship yeah. with Adidas. They called me and I was so upset. And I think it was more of like a, like, oh God, like, I've just put aside all that uni work. And I was just a bit like disappointed because I'd sacrificed that in a way to try and get this placement at Adidas.
Mm. Not only that, you'd put your all into it, hadn't you?
Yeah, I came out of it thinking, I have absolutely just smashed that, and I did.
Yeah.
I smashed that interview. And it was a confidence thing as well. Like, obviously, if you don't get something, it's a knockback, and you do feel a bit down and down about yourself. But it was also, I wasn't going to graduate with my friends because they'd all got placements. So I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to do my final year
yeah.
by myself, graduate by myself. But then 2 weeks later, I got a call from one of the HR managers, and she was like, we want you to apply for, it was like analytics related.
What's business analytics?
So it's heavily data focused. And drawing insights from data to...
Sales data.
Yeah. In my role, it was sales data, but it could be marketing, it could be other stuff.
Okay.
Drawing from that data, any insights to develop, like, strategies, changes in the business, what we can do better, what we can improve on.
Yeah, so very, actually, a really important role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went for it again, but I was like, if I don't get this, like, my confidence will be on the floor.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to get told no again.
Yeah. You didn't like that feeling, did you?
No.
You weren't used to it.
So I went for the interview, and Phil, who was ended up being my manager, he was interviewing me, and I just got a really good vibe from the interview.
Mm.
And then, like, a couple of weeks later, I got a call to say I got it.
And being yourself, again, is another tip, I think. I've heard a lot of leaders speak over the years and giving advice to young people. And one of the things that they say is, don't try to be something that you're not. You know, just be you. And if we like you, you can train people in all kinds of skills.
It's about your personality, if you're going to gel with the team, if you think you're going to fit in. And that's why it's so important to just be yourself.
Yeah.
And I grew so much and developed so much from that year. And I probably don't think I would have done if I didn't have, like, a good connection with my manager. Like, I think it's so important, obviously, to keep it professional, but you also need to have that respect for one another and have that normality of being able to chat about what you've done at the weekend. And I think that's what made me actually stronger at my job, because if I didn't get something, I felt like I could go up to him and be like, I'm sorry, I've absolutely no idea what you've just asked me to do.
Yes.
And that's fine to say that.
It's a test for them too, in terms of teaching somebody what you know, building...
And managing different people.
Managing different people, make, you know, and instilling confidence.
Yeah. He did instill confidence in me. Like, I think it was like the second week, like I said before, on a Monday, we had like this big weekly meeting where you presented last week's sales to the directors. We'd have to gather all the insights and prepare. We'd get it in the morning and we'd have to present it at like 3 o'clock on a Monday. At the time, like, thinking of it now, towards the end, it was like second nature. But at the time, I was like, oh my God, like, what do I know? And he'd help me and give me that confidence to go and do that.
The key for him is that you were standing up and speaking.
Yeah, and I think that was the key for everyone, just to show them that I'm here.
Yes.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
And I think they respected that more than anything. Because,
I
had a really, really lovely team. And if you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah.
And they probably respect you more for saying, actually, I don't know that answer.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you.
Yeah. And you know that they respected you in the end, because you got such incredible feedback. And I think the fact that you actually, you know, you stood up from an early stage, you just thought, they want me to stand up, they want me to present. And they did give you the option. It wasn't forced, was it? But you said yes. And that was the key, wasn't it, I think?
I tried everything. And I think you've just got to make the most of it because it's such an important year.
Did you, all the things did you say yes to?
The women's football team.
Going to Germany.
Went to Germany, met Jürgen Klopp. I mean, I didn't say yes to that. He had to say yes to me for getting a selfie.
You will say yes.
You will get a selfie with me. And he did, to be fair.
Yeah.
But also, I kind of made people say yes to me as well. I went up to people. So, like, Adidas had a gym and you got that vibe where everyone was sort of on the same level as you, whether you were an intern or a VP, which is a vice president, like, the top of the top. And if you were on the railway, you'd just be having, like, a little chat. And I was just speaking to one of the women and she was asking about me, I was asking about her, and at the time I didn't know she was like one of the directors on ASOS, and I asked her, oh, I'd love to get some experience on your team. Spoke to Phil about it and he was happy for me to do so as long as I was also getting my work done on in terms of what I was doing on my job. But I followed her up with it. I could have just easily stuck with what I was doing and still had an amazing year, but I went out of my way to get more experience from my year at Adidas. And I, but also credit to Phil where he let me go and do that. But he wanted me to do that. He wanted me to get the most out of that year.
So wrapping up the Adidas experience, of which we could do a whole podcast on probably. Yeah. You've graduated with your first. You knew you wanted to go travelling. A few months later, they've come back to you. Well, the job that they wanted you to apply for. It was a job that really appealed to you. And you had, again, a big decision to make.
I think once being at Adidas for that year, I realised, like, oh, I'd love to come back. Like, it's an amazing company, especially at the moment. Like, it's doing so well. Like, it's just a great company to work for. Initially, when I left, like, I always wanted to go back. That's always, and it still is. Like, I do want to go back to Adidas.
Mm.
And I think they knew that as well. And I built relationships with people who are, like, directors, who have got important roles within the business. And they always said, like, we'll look out for job opportunities for you.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, like, they don't have to do that.
No.
Because they've probably got a lot more bigger things on their plate that they need to deal with than looking for a job for me. I obviously had this plan to go travelling. And, you know, we spoke a lot about it. I was like, do I cut my travel short? Do I not go travelling? Do I apply for the job and just see what happens? I think deep down, I knew and you knew that I just wanted to go travelling.
Yeah.
I would have regretted it.
Yeah, definitely. Because you'll only get this chance. I'm not saying you're never going to travel again. Of course, you're going to. But once you start on that career path, it becomes about the career priority before you then family or whatever as you get older.
Like, so I'm 22 at the end of the day and I've got a long... Plus, many years of work to come unless I end up winning the lottery.
But also, Hannah, you've earned it. You've earned this. You know, we've sat here. We could sit here for probably another 3 days and talk about all the stuff that you've got up to and done. You know, we're trying to condense 22 years or whatever into, you know, a podcast that will be of interest and of value to listeners, whether it's parents, whether it's young people. And the one thing that's been consistent through your messaging is working hard, you know, and being, you know, committed. And
doing what's right for you.
Absolutely.
Because that's the most important thing.
Yeah. So here's to the next, I'm going to say 4 months. You're going to say 6 months or longer.
Oh, to travelling?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've booked a one-way ticket. I might not come back, like I said at the beginning.
You better had. If not, I'm chasing you down.
No, I will come back. I like my home comforts too much.
And the dogs.
And the dogs. And you, sometimes.
Most of the time. So thank you for being the best guest I've ever had on Talk On To Walk On. Woo! Of course I had to say that. I reckon though, Hannah, you've inspired not just young people, but you've sent out some great messages to parents and those who are, you know, looking out for young people as well in terms of the guidance and advice that they can pass on. So honestly, it's been absolutely brilliant to Talk On To Walk On with Hannah Helsby. I couldn't have gone any better. Honestly, I'm so proud of you. So proud of you.
Thank you as well for just being by my side through it all. Couldn't have done it without you, especially when it was just us two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before Patrick.
BP.
But no, honestly, you're my biggest inspiration. I'm so proud of everything that you're doing as well. And I love you so much. And I wouldn't be sat here if it wasn't for you and everything you've helped me achieve.
Oh, I love you.
Love you.